Well, we are glad that you can be with us for this first Lord's Day of 2020. We are thankful and grateful to be together as the Lord's people, and we're thankful and grateful that we have one another to support and encourage one another as we ultimately serve our God in this community and at this congregation, but ultimately as we give Him the glory in all things that we do at all times and in all places. I suppose that when we get to a time of year like this, either the end of the year or the beginning of a year, this little window of time is often a window of time when we tend to evaluate ourselves. Sometimes we make resolutions or decisions or determinations about directions we may take, or maybe at the end of the year we look back on what we've done, and now at the beginning of the year we look forward to what can we accomplish, what can we do, both as a congregation and both as an individual. Naturally, a mindset like this needs to begin with each individual, and then that kind of spills over collectively to each and every one of us as we think about what we do for God as a congregation of the Lord's people and as a group, an army of His servants. And sometimes, though, we can become a little discouraged when we think about our past in connection to our future. Because sometimes, like all human beings do, well, we've blown it. We've made mistakes. And if we're not careful, we can allow the mistakes that we've made to become so at the forefront of our mind and so prominent in our mind that we fail to look toward the future and the good that we can still accomplish with the time that God has blessed us with. There can be victory even after defeat. And to illustrate that, I want you to think for just a few moments about a story as sort of an introduction to some thoughts that we're going to think about this morning and tonight about having victory after defeat. I want you to think about a story in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua, chapters 7 and 8. In the chapters prior to Joshua 7, the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River and were now in the land of Canaan, that great promised land, and they were ready to conquer, and they started by defeating the city of Jericho. And because things were going so well, the next city that they were going to take on was a small city. It says, according to those who did the scouting and the looking and the research before the battle, that it was just a small city and only a small number, 2,000 or 3,000, would be needed to conquer these people in a small city called Ai. And yet, when the text tells us that about 3,000 men of the army went to Ai, they were defeated. In fact, it tells us about 36 people died. No one had died when they conquered Jericho, a much larger city. No one of the Israel's army. A much larger city with a much more sophisticated way to protect itself. And now 36 people are killed in battle against a small city. Well, when you go and you read the entire chapter, you realize that the problem was sin in the camp. There was a man named Achan who had stolen some things from the city of Jericho that God said they should not take. He had taken some gold and some garments, and God said everything there is to be given as a sacrifice to God. Achan had taken what rightfully belonged to God in this particular occasion, and sin was in the camp. And because of that, because it had to be rooted out, and it had to be confessed, and it had to be punished, the people were defeated. Well, eventually, after this defeat at Ai, Joshua, as their leader, pled with God, "What should we do?" And God said, "You gotta solve the sin that's here, and it's gotta be dealt with appropriately, and yes, it must be punished." And all of that transpires in chapter 7. And now they've dealt with the sin. And now the sin has been punished. And the consequences have
pass. And so they, in chapter 8, prepare to march to the city of Ai again. And you kind of wonder, are these people thinking, and the last time we were here with even a small army, this didn't go well. The last time we were here, it just didn't go well. 36 men died. And so are they thinking? You just kind of have to wonder, if they were wondering, can we really win this time? Can there be victory after defeat? And you see, that's what I want us to really think about with that story kind of as a backdrop, because in chapter 8, they decisively win. And they decisively conquer. And yes, indeed, there was victory after defeat. And so as we think about standing at the beginning of a new year, this first Lord's Day of 2020, we need to be encouraged about the direction we can take with our lives and the direction we can take collectively as the Lord's people. And while our mistakes and sins of the past, the devil will use to discourage us and say, no, you're lost, so you're a loser, why try? And while the devil tries to do that to us, I want us, based on this summation of Joshua 7 and 8, to realize there can be victory after defeat. We can move forward. And we're going to spend some time thinking about that this morning and tonight. And we're going to think about two things this morning and two more things tonight that will encourage us to realize that there can be victory after defeat. And so as we now have set the lessons, both lessons this morning and tonight's up with this background from the book of Joshua, as we've set that up, let's this morning make two observations about victory after defeat, and tonight we'll make two more for a total of four to encourage us that yes, there can be victory after defeat. So here is observation number one this morning. Yesterday's failures do not have to doom tomorrow or even today. Yesterday's defeats, yesterday's failures do not have to doom today or tomorrow or our future. You see, we can have victory after defeat. I want you to think about the New Testament church for just a minute when we moved from the life of Jesus into the book of Acts and the establishment of the church. Just making a surface observation of some of the facts there, you might think that there were a lot of losses. Jesus was crucified. He died. The apostles were imprisoned. The disciples were scattered. And just sort of as a surface observation, you might think that, you know, Jesus was killed, the apostles were beaten, the church was scattered, that the wheels were coming off of the bus. And that it was all doomed to failure. But you know what we know? You know what we know? You keep reading, and even though there were these defeats, there was death, there was beating, there was persecution, there was scattering and fear, you know what we know? We know that Jesus, even though He was crucified, what? He also was resurrected. We know that even though the apostles were beaten, they still continue to preach and to teach and to prevail. And we know that even though the disciples were scattered and they were persecuted and they had a healthy degree of fear because of things like that, they still persevered and they took the gospel to the lost. You see, these are people who suffered what appears to us as defeat, loss, but they all conquered. They all prevailed. And they may have had a loss. They may have had a defeat the day before, but the next day, they weren't doomed. The next day, they continued to prevail. The church continued to multiply. The church continued to grow and prosper. In fact, here's just one verse that for all these defeats that you think about, here's one verse in the book of Acts, chapter 9, that helps us put into perspective this first idea, this first observation we're trying to make, that yesterday's defeats, yesterday's losses, do not have to be, do not affect today. They don't mean that today or tomorrow that I'm going to have all kind of continue in that same course of action. Because after all these things, Jesus crucified, apostles beaten, imprisoned, disciples scattered, Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Oh, they had many sad stories they could share. They had many defeats that came their way. But those losses of the day before, those losses of yesterday did not doom that day or the day after that day. You see, they prevailed. And when you and I think about our lives and we think about the things that we have been through and what appear to us to be losses and defeats, sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we get ready just to say, I'm not sure it's worth it. I'm not sure I can really hang in. I'm not sure I really can endure. And we quit and we give up. Do not give up. You may have been defeated yesterday. You may have experienced a loss. You may be hurting from what's happened to you in the past. But it does not doom tomorrow. It does not doom even today. You see, you can move on and you can move forward. Because we have setbacks. We make mistakes. Sometimes we go back to bad habits. We disappoint our families. Maybe we fail on the job. Maybe we become unfaithful and we backslide. We all make mistakes. We all sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But we all make mistakes. Maybe you've seen the church bulletin blooper that's come up from time to time that says, last Sunday everybody enjoyed the sinning. I hope that was a G they left out and not another N. Sometimes we make that mistake. But you know what? Just because we've had a setback, just because maybe we even enjoyed the sinning, that doesn't have to stay that way. You see, we can move forward. And what happened yesterday, the defeat, the loss, the sin, the setback, it doesn't doom today. It doesn't have to stay that way because I can move forward. Maybe we can all relate to the words of a very short little poem. I'm not sure it's ever won a Nobel Peace Prize or a Pulitzer Prize of any kind. But maybe we can all relate to the words of a little poem that says, I wish that there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again. When all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief might be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. The place of beginning again. Let me tell you something. There is such a place. It's right here. I don't mean 2813 Maston Lake Road.
I mean the church. This is the place of beginning again. This is the place where yesterday's defeats do not doom today's accomplishments and what we can turn our lives around to become. You see, we can move forward, and all of us sometimes need just to start over. This is the place and this is the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the time. This is the place. Victory. Victory can follow defeat. Sometimes we just need to start over. You may recall that in Revelation 21, verse 5, when we have that great glimpse into the throne room of heaven, there's a fascinating statement made that I want to make as an application or a parallel to what we're thinking about at this moment, that sometimes we just need to start over. You may recall that in Revelation 21, when we have that great vision of heaven, that the voice that comes from heaven says, behold, and when you see that word in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, that's a bold-faced, underlined, shout-at-you word. Behold, the word of the original that's translated in most of our English translations as behold, it says, I'll need and want your attention. Look at what listen to what I'm about to say. And it says, behold, what? I make all things new. Sometimes we just need to start over. Sometimes we just need to begin and make things new. The Bible talks about the new covenant. Jesus gave us a new covenant because the old covenant was the sentence of death, Galatians 3, verse 10 tells us. But the new covenant is one of life. Jesus said He would give that to us in Matthew 26. It forgives sins. Behold, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. The God who makes all things new has given us a new covenant. Jesus, who said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, gave us a new covenant. The Bible talks about, in Hebrews 10, a new way. And it leads to what Revelation 3 says is the new Jerusalem. The Bible speaks of a new man. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, there's the word again, behold, all things have become new. Sometimes we just need to begin again. And yesterday's defeats, yesterday's losses do not prevent, should not prevent, cannot prevent today's success. Observation number one. But now let's make a second one as we think about this new year. Don't stumble over the same stone twice. Don't stumble over the same stone twice. Before Joshua and the people and the army could move from where they were to defeat Ai and fulfill God's plan of cleansing the land of idolatry, before that could happen, they had to deal with the sin problem. It had to be rooted out. It had to be dealt with. It had to be acknowledged. It had to be confessed. And it had to be punished. If they had gone back to the city of Ai with an army of 100,000 and not dealt with the sin problem, they would have been defeated again. You see, don't stumble over the same stone twice. And Joshua realized when God told him there's sin in the camp, you've got to deal with this, that before we can move forward, before we can let this defeat of yesterday
no longer doom what we're going to do today and this from this day forward. Before that can happen, then we've got to get rid of this stone that's in the way that's causing us to trip and stumble. We've got to get rid of the sin. We've got to deal with it. We've got to acknowledge it. We've got to let the consequences fall where they may, and then we've got to move forward. You and I have got to do that in our lives. We've got to deal with the sin problem. We've got to deal with the snares that we fall into that pull us away from God. Because if we don't, guess what? We'll keep stumbling over the same stone time after time after time. We'll keep committing the same sin because we're not dealing with it. We're simply letting it lie there. We're simply letting it be there. And we're not dealing with it. And when we refuse to deal with it, we have all kinds of problems. We will stumble. We will trip on the rocks on the path of life. We're human. We all make mistakes. You are not unique because you have sinned. You are not unique because you have stumbled. You are not unique because you have made a mistake. We all share that same problem, that same issue. We have all sinned. We have all stumbled. We have all made mistakes. But to continue to stumble again and again and again on the same stone brings the question whether we want to change or we want to just keep stumbling. The story is told about two hunters that like big game hunting. And they flew to a very remote part of Canada to hunt elk. You know, that's like an 11-foot horse, you know. So they fly here to hunt elk. And they're pretty successful. And they bring back four elk to the plane. And the pilot says, these things are gigantic. I could only possibly take three. There's no way we could get four plus our luggage and myself and the two of you on the plane. It just won't work. We'll never get out of the valley. We'll never get enough altitude. Too much weight. And the hunter said, man, we came up here, we paid you, and we've done this before, by the way. You know, in fact, we were here just 2 years ago. And it was about the same size plane, and we had six elk. And the pilot let us put them on the plane, and he took off. And the pilot finally said, okay, let's put them all on there. They took it off. Well, they couldn't get altitude. They crashed. The two hunters kind of stumbled out of the wreckage, and everybody was okay. The elks were already dead to start with. And everybody was okay, but the hunters stumbled out, and the first hunter asked the second one, where on earth do you think we are? And he says, I don't know, but we can't be more than a half a mile where we crashed 2 years ago. You see, they stumbled over the same stone. Why? Because they kept making the same mistake. Why did they keep making the same mistake? Because they kept using the same poor judgment. And if we keep using the same poor judgment, we'll keep making the same mistakes and we'll keep stumbling over the same stone. And we should not sit back and say, I don't know what happened. Yes, you do. Yes, I do. I know what happened. I enjoyed the sinning. I like stumbling. But you know what? If there is going to be victory after defeat, the stumbling, the falling, the sinning, the poor judgment, that's defeat. But if there's going to be victory after the defeat, we cannot continue to stumble over the same stone again and again and again. We cannot continue to stumble over the same stone twice. You see, we've got to resolve. We've got to change. We've got to move ourselves in a new direction, and we've got to avoid that stone. We've got to avoid that mistake that we've made before. We should learn from the mistakes that we have made before. We should learn from the things that we have done wrong before. We should learn from the sins that we have committed and the consequences that we have reaped. And it doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any softer. We should learn from our mistakes. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, you know, when I was a child, I thought as a child and I spake as a child, but what? When I became a man, what? I put away childish things. I'm making a little bit of application there. I hope it's not terribly out of context. That, you know, when we become spiritual men and women, let's put away the childish things. Let's put away the sinful things. And quit stumbling and making the same mistakes over and over and over. We need to remove Hebrews 12. There's a very relevant passage about this in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people of faith that are mentioned back in chapter 11, look at what it says. Let us, what should we do? Lay aside every weight, and listen, and the sin which so easily ensnares us." There's a sin out there, and usually more than one, that has my number all over it. You see, the devil knows which button to push. He knows which temptation to dangle in front of me. He knows which stone to put in the path to make me stumble and fall. It is what Hebrews 12 verse 1 calls the sin which so easily ensnares us. And what should we do? Lay that aside. And then do what? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. You see, let's not stumble over the same stone over and over and over. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us move forward. You see, sometimes maybe we need a new set of friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals or good habits." Sometimes we just need a new set of friends. Sometimes we need better influences around us. Sometimes we need better people around us. Sometimes we need to put ourselves in the company of better people. And we need to be involved in better things and better thinking and better habits. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 tells us, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You see, we need to quit stumbling over the same stone. We need to abstain. We need to lay aside. And we need to run the race that's before us. And we need to quit crashing in the same forest year after year after year. We need to take evaluation. We need to find the problem, sin. We need to address it and deal with it and lay it aside. There may be consequences that we will suffer as a result of, but we can move forward with victory after defeat. And God will bless us. And God will help us. And the Word of God will encourage us. We need to change our lives. We need to change our thinking. We need to change the direction we're going so that we don't crash and burn over and over and over. But it's not so much really that we need a new road to travel on. We just simply need to have the determination to make the right decisions to travel effectively on the road that's already in front of us. So, with the invitation of Christ now ready to be extended, the invitation song ready to be sung, where do you lie in relationship to the Lord? Where is your life? Do you feel defeated? Lost? Discouraged? Let me tell you something. Victory is but a step away. Victory is but a decision away. And victory can be yours all the way. Would you come this morning? We stand and we sing.